All right. Hallelujah. Good to see everybody this morning. Hallelujah. We're going to open up and get started with prayer this morning. Father, we come before you this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for your presence and your power in this place, because wherever the Holy Ghost is, there's the power to perform the Word of God in our lives. We thank you for the word today, that your word will never return unto you void, but it will go out, it will accomplish that for which it was sent. It will prosper where it's being sent. It will accomplish that for which it was purposed. And we thank you that your word is living power. Today we welcome the mighty Holy Spirit in here as the great teacher of all truth, the great revealer of all truth, bringing revelation, knowledge, and understanding into the heart of each listener here today. We give you all the praise for what you will do and about to do and continue to do. And I ask for great unction and utterance in the Holy Ghost this morning. By the power of the Spirit, I will minister by your grace. And we thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Well, we want to welcome all those online with us this morning who have joined us. And we always say, just add your faith right here with us and continue to do the same things that we do here. When the word is being taught, the word is going forth. As a good listener, you take that word and you what? You personalize it. You make it yours. You act on that word as you're hearing that word. Amen. Praise God. So last week we started a series on why faith, why do we need faith, why faith, what is faith, and we're talking about the God kind of faith. What is the God kind of faith all about? And we said that you can't be saved without this faith, and we're not talking about natural faith that all of us have because we live on this earth, and we have natural faith because we see it, feel it, touch it, smell it. We believe it. No, this is the God kind of faith that it says when you get born again in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, that you were given a measure of the God kind of faith. So, and then it tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, we having a spirit of faith, we believe, therefore we speak. Hallelujah. So all of us, if you're born again in here today and you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you were given a measure of the God kind of faith. Now it's up to each one of us what we do with the measure of the God kind of faith that was given to us. So according to how you have been applying it, exercising it, developing it in your life, puts all of us on different levels. According to what you've been doing with what you've been given. If you haven't been doing too much with it, exercising it, applying it, then we always want to be what? Developing our faith. As it tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, we want to have exceedingly growing faith. So we should always be endeavoring or wanting to grow in our faith with God. Not to remain the same as what we started with, but to continue to develop that faith that we have been given. Praise God. So that has to be exercised and applied to the different things that come against you in this life, because we live on this earth. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're here to make a difference. We're in this world. We are not of this world. So we function differently. We see it differently. We respond to it differently than the world would. So we said this about the God kind of faith. So the God kind of faith, it comes from the heart or your spirit, where the Holy Spirit resides and lives in your spirit. The God kind of faith lives in your spirit. And that's where the measure was given to you and deposited. And then you are learning to take what's on the inside and work it on the outside. So we said you can't be saved without faith. We can't live for God without faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, we said you're saved by grace through faith. Romans chapter 1, verse 17 says the just shall live by faith. Number 3, we said you cannot please God without faith. Hebrews 11, 6, it says, for without faith it is impossible to please God. We said number 4, you cannot walk the Christian walk without faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And then number 5, we said we can't enter into the Christian fight without faith, where it tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. So none of these things cannot be done without the God kind of faith. So it tells us it takes faith to know God. It takes faith to please God. It takes faith to receive from God. God, our Father, desires that we seek Him and get to know Him. He promises to reward those who come after Him. And this is constantly wanting to know Him, wanting to grow in Him. It should be an ongoing, constant thing, not getting to a place where you plateau and you say, well, I've arrived, I've learned everything I need to learn about God, blah, blah, blah. No, there should be a... Brother Hagin made this statement. He said, be satisfied with getting dissatisfied with ever being satisfied. If you find yourself getting satisfied, say, God, I ask for more hunger. Hunger for your word, hunger to know you. You know what? That's not a bad prayer to pray. You can pray it more than once and God will honor it. Believe you me. It works. So, we found out in Luke chapter 18 and in verse 8, Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes back to the earth, will He find faith on the earth? Well, another translation says, will He find people persistent in their faith? Will He find people in faith? And will He find people using their faith? So we should want to be in one of those categories where we're using our faith, being persistent with our faith. Come on now. Yeah. Right? Because we want to please Him and do everything that we can to get to know Him. Yeah. Hallelujah. When you get to know Him, it's getting to know what His Word says. So as we did this, we begin to look in, let's turn in our Bibles together to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We begin to look at another Bible instance here. And we see in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 that there's King Jehoshaphat and Judah, and that they have all been what? Surrounded by their enemies. King Jehoshaphat. Let's look at verse 2. He finds out, King Jehoshaphat, verse 2, and I'm reading from the Amplified of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It says, it was told Jehoshaphat that a great multitude has come out against you. A great multitude. So here's King Jehoshaphat and Judah. They're surrounded by these enemies, and he hears that it's a great multitude. It's not just a little army here and there. No, it's a great multitude. And then look at verse 3, because in verse 3 it says, then Jehoshaphat feared and set himself determinedly as his vital need. Oh, boy. As his vital need to seek the Lord, he proclaimed a fast in all of Judah. So the first thing he does, Jehoshaphat, the king who's leading them, is he hears a bad report, and instead of running and telling 400 other people about the bad report, he goes to the Lord. Yeah. And this is what this is a good habit that we need to learn to do, is go to the throne and not our phone. How many remember that last week? Go to the throne and not your phone. People are connecting more in this day and hour with their phone than they are with God in their heart. Yes. And it's so important to the Lord that we continue to seek Him and count on Him, look to Him, depend on Him. Yes. Right? Yes. So King Jehoshaphat, he leads the people. He says, look, we're going to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast in all of Judah. Then in verse 4 it says, and Judah gathered together to ask help from who? The Lord. I love it. So they're seeking God, desiring Him, depending on Him, looking to Him for their help. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord, yearning for Him with all their desire. I love it too. So they were saying, Lord, above anything else, first of all and foremost, You're our one desire. You're our heart's desire. You're the one we we desire to know more, to long for. Come on now. That hunger and that thirst to know Him. They're letting Him know that He is their one and only desire. Is Jesus your one and only desire? Is he the one that you desire to know, to grow with? So it says, so that's one thing that we wanted to go back from where we read last week. It was verse 3 and 4 about they went to the Lord. You know, it tells us in the scriptures in Amos chapter 5 and in verse 4, it says, seek God and you shall live. Seek God and you shall live. That's a good one to remember. Seek the Lord and you shall live. Yeah. And then we want to look at another verse that we read last week just to do some review here, going over a few things. We also said in, let's see here, verse 12. So we'll go to verse 12 in 2 Chronicles 20. So they do seek the Lord. And they let Him know that their eyes are on Him, they're trusting Him, they're depending on Him, they're looking to Him. And that they're reminding God of what He said. He said, forever You had given this land to Abraham, it belongs to us, and we're not going to be taken out of this inheritance that was given to us. So it says, verse 12, O our God, will You not exercise judgment upon them? For we have no might to stand against this great company that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on You. You know, when circumstances and situations, opposition is opposing us, sickness or disease is opposing us, what are you choosing to look at? What are you looking at? Because it's the Word alone that's going to what? Sustain you and preserve you and strengthen you. We have to what? Keep our eyes on Jesus. They said their eyes were upon Him and Him only. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the living Word. What does it tell us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18? Those things that are eternal will swallow up that which is temporal. The temporal things, your situation, circumstance, sickness, disease, is subject to change. And it has to bow to the eternal, which will never change. So I like what they did right here, because they were like, we are no match in and of ourselves. You are no match in and of yourself to the devil or any sickness or any disease, but with God, with the greater one that lives in you. Greater is He, 1 John 4:4, that's in you than he that's in the world. Come on now. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. We're looking not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, because the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So we're taking the eternal and we're applying it up against that which is temporal. Yeah. So they said, our eyes are on you. What are you constantly looking at? I want to review a couple of scriptures here concerning the Word of God and just how powerful it is as a reminder here. In John chapter 6 and in verse 63, Jesus said, my words are life and spirit. Life and spirit. They're life-giving, life-sustaining, and life-preserving. They're spiritual in meaning. Spirit and life. Spiritual in meaning, but they're life-giving in their effect, life-sustaining in their effect, and life-preserving. It also tells us in Luke chapter 1 and verse 37, I like that in the Amplified. Luke chapter 1 and in verse 37. We need to remind ourselves about the Word of God when it comes to it being so, it's not just a word on a piece of paper, but it is actually God speaking to you. But in verse 37 of Luke chapter 1, the Amplified says, for with God nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. God's word is never lacking his power, nor is it void of his ability. Never. Never void of his power, never void of his ability. Then it tells us in another scripture I like to look at, Isaiah 55:11 in the Amplified. I love how the Amplified says it. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, it says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void without producing any effect. That's what God says. He said it will not return unto him void without producing any effect, useless, but it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I send it. Beyond a shadow of a doubt. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yes, it is. In Psalms chapter 89 and in verse 34, just reminding us here about the Word of God and just how powerful it is. Psalms 89 and verse 34, it says, my covenant will I not break, nor profane or alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. God backs his word, he stands behind his word, and his word will never change. It says in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Think about that. So his words are eternal. And God takes one translation right here, the New Living Translation, in fact, of verse 34 in Psalms 89, it says, I will not take back a single word I said. If God said it, he meant it. In Numbers 23:19, it says, God says, I am not a man that I should lie, nor the son of man that I should repent or change my mind. Have I not said it? Shall I not do it? Have I not spoken it? Shall I not make it good? And what does it tell us in Jeremiah 1 verse 12? He watches over his word to perform it. He watches over his word, his word, his word, not our opinions, not what our neighbors are saying next door about us. He watches over his word to perform it. And it tells us in Psalms 119 and verse 89 that God's word is settled forever in the heavens. But you and I are the ones that settle it here on the earth. How do we settle it, Pastor Debbie? By believing it and acting on it. By believing that word and acting on that word. Taking that word and personalizing it and making it yours. God, you said this. I believe this. I have this because you said this. It's mine in Jesus' name. Your words have power. And remember what I said about faith. Faith is an attitude and an action. Believing is the attitude, speaking is the action. So if you're not saying anything, you're losing by default. Because faith always has something to say. Because when the Word of God gets in your heart, it's going to move your mouth. It's going to move your mouth when the Word of God gets sown down into your heart. You stop speaking the fear. You stop speaking about the circumstances. You start talking to the circumstances. You start rebuking the fear. Paul said, Acts 20:24, none of these things move me. And he was being heavily persecuted because he was continuing to go and share the gospel in places that a lot of people were against him and didn't want him to share the gospel. But he did. He did. And he said, but none of these things move me. So, and what did Smith Wigglesworth tell us? I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm only moved by what I believe. I believe God. So what are we looking at? According to verse 12 here, we should be looking at the living Word. The Word that's alive, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Look at the Word of God, which is a living, active, energizing, piercing to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, joints and marrows, the discern of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. Proverbs 4, verse 20, what does it tell us? Attend to my words. Attend. Give your full attention to it. Give your undivided attention. Don't be looking at all these other things. Be looking at the Word. The devil will tempt you to make sure that you're trying to be looking at the lying pain and the symptoms and the circumstances and what the doctor's report says, what the x-ray looks like. And come on now. Brother Hagin said when he got healed of that paralysis, that blood disease, and that heart situation, heart condition, and he was raised up off a deathbed, and he said the devil would try to come against him at night, in the midnight hour. He'd be laying there in bed, and he said all of a sudden every lying symptom would come right back on his body. Now you think about this. The same symptoms and lies and pain and disease that he had left. But notice how the enemy tried to persuade him otherwise, was bring those lying symptoms and pain back to him. And he would just lay there in bed and start laughing. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, ha, ha. And finally, the devil asked and said, what are you laughing at? He said, I'm laughing at you, Mr. Devil. The devil said, well, you know you're not going to make it this time. He said, you're going to die. You're not going to live. He said, remember what the doctor said? It could come right back. He said, it's come back on you. You're going to die. He go, ha, 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 ha. Oh, no, oh, no, oh, no, uh-uh, ha, 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 ha. The devil said, well, you laughing at him? He said, I'm laughing at you. He says, I know. The devil said, you're not going to get your healing this time. He said, devil, get out of here. I don't have to get my healing. Jesus purchased my healing 2,000 years ago. Come on now. And he said, I'm walking in that which Jesus purchased for me 2,000 years ago. It's mine and I believe it and I'm walking in it. Get out of here in Jesus' name. Woo, buddy. And he said, every lying symptom and pain left. It's true. It will. Situations in my own life, I'm telling you, when you get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and you're studying the Word of God and you're praying, the enemy doesn't like it. So he'll try to throw anything he can, any fiery dart, whether it's a physical one, and bring pain in certain parts of your body. Well, you know, I just turn and look on the inside and always say, Lord, how do you want me to handle this time? Sometimes just praying in tongues for an hour. It all disappears. Sometimes it's just getting up, praising him, and worshiping him. And it all leaves. It's learning to listen to the Holy Spirit in here. Listen to the God on the inside, the guide on the inside. Sometimes it's just get up and begin to say what the word says. Make your confession of faith. What does it tell us in Hebrews 10:23? Hold fast to the confession of our faith without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. Oh, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah. And so we read this last week, and then we move on to verse 15. We see that one of the prophets rise up, had the Spirit of the Lord come on him, and he began to speak to him. And he said in verse 15, he said, "Hearken, all Judah." Verse 15, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. He said, "Hearken, all Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat. The Lord says this to you, be not afraid or dismayed at this great multitude." Don't be looking at the wrong thing. Keep your eyes on the answer, the living word. Keep looking at the word. Keep looking at your answer. He says, "Do not be afraid for this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it's God's. The victory has already been won. Your victory has already been won. You're looking at the victory, not the defeat. You're looking at the victory. Jesus conquered Satan. He conquered every sickness, every disease for you in your place. See it on Jesus. See that disease on him. See that sickness on him. See that pain on him as your substitute. He willingly took it for you and I, because he knew that there was nobody else that was capable of taking it and bearing it in our place and rising up with triumph, rising up with victory over the devil, sickness, disease, fear, lack, poverty, want, all of that. And then we look here, he tells us, do not fear. And that's one of the strategies that the enemy loves to play against you, because sometimes when the symptoms are wearing up their head, and you're feeling this, and you're seeing this, and then the enemy comes with the fear, you got to stand against the fear. You got to rebuke the fear, because God didn't give us a spirit of fear. He calls it a spirit. So you don't play games with it and let it hang around. You immediately address it and rebuke it. Command the fear to go because of what you know, because of what Jesus has already done and conquered. Hallelujah. And then we see in verse 17, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 17, we read this last week, "You shall not need to fight in this battle. Take your positions." What is your position you're to take? The faith position. The position of victory and triumph. You're not trying to get your victory. You're coming from the victory through Jesus Christ and what he's already wrought for you. You're not trying to get your healing. Healing has already been provided for you. You're just claiming what is yours. I said you're claiming what is yours by using your speech center, which is the dominion center of your life. You must be using the speech center, the dominion center, because faith, part of faith is what we are saying continually. Oh, boy. So we're using our mouth, taking your position of faith. You got the faith. Don't let the devil tell you you don't have enough faith. That's a lie. You've been given a measure of the God kind of faith. You got the faith. It's just, what are you doing with what you have? Whosoever shall, what does Mark 11:23 say? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, this is the picture of the God kind of faith. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in their heart, but shall believe those things that they say, they shall have whatsoever they say. Woo. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Don't want to tolerate fear. Rebuke it. Stand against it. Hallelujah. And then today we're going to look at some more scriptures here. Hallelujah. Beginning in verse 18 and 19. This is where we left off last week. So we know our position. We know what faith is beginning to look like. And we're going to see what King Jehoshaphat and Judah did with their faith when they sought the Lord and they got on their faces before him, letting him know that he was their vital answer and that they were looking to no one else and nothing else but him. Are y'all getting this? Okay. So verses 18 and 19, we're going to read it right here in 2 Chronicles 20. It says, "And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, they fell down before the Lord," what? "Worshiping him." Oh my. Verse 19, then we're going to go back. "And some Levites of the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice." They were not quiet about their praise and worship before God. Now, I want us to see something here because this is so powerful. The power of our praise and worship, the power of your praise and worship. What does God say when it comes to the praises of his people? He inhabits the praises of his people. Psalms 22, verse 3. God inhabits. He takes up residence in. Look at this. Picture this in your mind. God takes up residence in your praise and worship. He takes up residence. That means when we pray, we ask God, but when we praise, we win battles. God answers our prayers, but he lives in our praise and worship. Get this. This is so powerful. He answers our prayers, but he lives in our praise and worship. You're not ready for the battleground until you've been on holy ground. And this goes right back to where I started about going to the throne and not your phone. You're not ready for the battleground until you've been on holy ground, been in his very presence. You've been seeking him, desiring him, fellowshipping with him, loving on him, worshiping him, praising him for what he's done, worshiping him for who he is. Yes. And what he takes up residence in our praise and worship. He lives in our praise and worship. So, some scriptures here, I want us to see this point really good. Because it's so powerful that we get this understanding concerning your praise and worship time with the Lord and just how powerful it is. Norval Hayes made this statement. He said, God told him, he said, "My people don't praise me enough." He said, "If my people would praise me more, I would do great and mighty things for them and through them." He said, "If my people would praise me more." Now look, this is not a works thing where we're trying to get God to do something. No, 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 no. We're praising him for what he's already done. Hallelujah. Letting him know we're so grateful and thankful for what God has done through his son, Jesus Christ. And we're spending time in thanksgiving and praise. Just let him know, "Lord, I just want to let you know I'm so thankful you've healed me already." Yes. May not feel like it, may not look like it. Reports may be coming from both sides, totally negative. But you're letting God know that you're thanking him that it's been already done. It's already done. Yes. So we're not trying to do it to get God to do something. No, we're praising him for what he's already done and letting him know we're thankful, we're grateful, and we just want to praise him for that. Woo, glory to God. You know, let's go to Psalms chapter 8. We're going to read out of the Amplified. Psalms chapter 8. This is so good. I want you to get this morning. If you don't get anything else today before we leave here, this is so good. Woo, how powerful your praise and worship time is, because God lives in your praise and worship. And the enemy will do everything he can to shut you down from praising your God and worshiping. But when you become an extravagant worshiper and you're saying, God, I'm committing this time to you right now. This is you and me, God, right now. I'm laying aside everything I want to do, any other thing that I should be doing. I'm spending this time with you right now, Lord God. Woo, I tell you, when you let him know that you're just spending that time with him, it's just you and him and you're loving on him and praising him and worshiping him, he gets all in it. He gets all in it, all over it. He takes up living residence in that. And boy. All right, let's read Psalms 8 verse 2 first. Out of the mouths of babes and unweaned infants, you have established strength. Because of your foes, that you might silence the enemy and the avenger. Praise shuts the mouth of the enemy. It silences the mouth of the devil. Praise. Let me explain this one right here, because it says establish strength. When you begin to praise and worship God with all that's within you, God's strength comes into your test or your trial. His strength comes into it, and he shuts the mouth of the devil and every other evil voices out there that are trying to contend for your attention. Are you getting this? I said, when you praise and worship your God unashamedly, extravagantly, I'll get it out, hallelujah, extravagantly, letting him know that you want to be with him right here, right now, more than anything else, and nothing else has your attention but you and him. Woo, he loves it. He takes up residence in it. It shuts the mouth of the enemy. He silences the mouths of your enemy. God's strength comes in on the scene and begins to work and operate in your situation. Come on now. If we only knew what was happening in the spirit realm every time we choose to praise and worship God, you'd be doing a whole lot more of it. If you only knew. We're getting some pictures right here. Let's jump right here to chapter 9. Psalms chapter 9, we're going to read right out of the Amplified again, starting in verse 1 through 3. Psalms chapter 9, verse 1 through 3. It says, I will praise you, O Lord. I will show forth, recount, and tell aloud all your marvelous works and wonderful deeds. I will rejoice in you and be in high spirits. Woo! It didn't say low spirits, did it? No, it didn't. It said, I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be in high spirits. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Now look at what happens when he begins to sing praise and he's in high spirits. He's rejoicing. He's singing praise to the Lord Most High. Verse 3, when my enemies turn back, they stumbled and perished before you. The King James Version says, my enemies turned and went back at thy presence. Why? Because God inhabits the praises of his people. So he's living in your praises and your worship time. And when his presence comes in, the devil has to flee. He cannot be in the same place at the same time with the presence of God. So we should want to praise and worship God even more so. Woo! It says, when my enemies turn back, so praise and worship turns the enemy away. Turns the enemy away. Whoa, my, oh, my, oh, my. When my enemies turn back, they stumble and they perish before you. Verse 4, for you have maintained my right and my cause. Yes, he has. You have maintained my right and my cause. You sat on the throne judging righteously. Oh, yeah, he does. Because what does Psalms 22:3 says? He acts like a judge sitting on, let me see. 22:3 says that God, that verse 3 where it says God inhabits the praises of his people. He's enthroned as the Holy One, enthroned amid the praises, and upon the praises he sits to sit down as a judge in ambush with a surprise attack against your enemies every time when you're praising and worshiping God. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now let's, right here, just flip the page to Psalms chapter 5. Psalms chapter 5, we're going to look at verse 11 and 12. We're talking about the power of our praise and worship. You got to know your spiritual weapons. When you're dealing with a spiritual enemy, not flesh and blood, but a spiritual enemy, you got to know your spiritual weapons. Praise is a spiritual weapon. Hallelujah. Psalms chapter 5, we're looking at verse 11 and 12. I'm going to begin in verse 11. It says, but let all those who take refuge and put their trust in you, who? In God. Rejoice. Let them ever sing and shout for joy. What does that remind you of? The walls of Jericho with Joshua. When they circled it seven times and they shouted. What happened? The walls came down, but they were shouting before the walls came down. We don't need to wait for the walls to come down and then praise and worship and shout. No, it's talking about shouting while the walls are still up. Hallelujah. But let all those who take refuge put their trust in you rejoice. Let them ever sing and shout for joy because you make a covering over them. Here we go, here we go, here we go. And defend them and let those also who love your name be joyful in you and be in high spirits. There it is again. Who's to be in high spirits? You and I. We're to be in high spirits when it comes to being before our God and being excited and enthusiastic about praising Him and being there in that moment to praise Him with all our heart, that we're in this moment with Him, excited and enthusiastic about it. God, I'm so excited about You right now and what You've done for me. I'm like Smith Wigglesworth at this moment. I just got to do a high-speed dance. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm telling you. It'll move your mouth and it'll move your body. Your body will follow what your heart is desiring. The power of our praise and worship. So what is this saying right here in verse 11? When you begin to praise and worship God, you build a barricade around you that gets the devil out. He can't get through that barricade. Come on now. When you praise and worship God, you're shouting, you're rejoicing. There's a barricade that's being built around you that keeps the devil out. Oh, my God. But it allows the presence of God in. Come on now. Building a barricade right here. It says, because you make a covering over them. Well, here we go. And you defend them. Here we go. There's that barricade of defense right there. Right there. The barricade keeping the devil out, but it's allowing the presence of God in. And that's just what you want, the presence of God in, so that power is working in you, for you. His strength is being released in that very moment when you release your faith and your praise and your worship time. That power, God's strength, God's might is working in your situation. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Help us get this, Lord God. Oh, my God. I couldn't sit in my seat if I was hearing this. That's why I'm up here just. Woo. Hallelujah. You have to let the Holy Ghost quicken this on the inside of you. Make it real to you. It's so powerful. So you'll be ready for the battleground when you've been on holy ground. Because every single time that you're in his presence, you're being saturated. You're being refilled. Refilled. When you're getting filled up, everything that's not of him has to get out. I said everything that's not of him has to leave. You're getting and becoming so full of him, his presence. Verse 12, for you, Lord, will bless the uncompromisingly righteous, him who is upright and in right standing with you. As with a shield, you will surround him with goodwill, pleasure, and favor. There you go. As with a shield. Every time an extravagant worshiper, Lord, I could be doing this right now, but I'm choosing to lay all this aside. I'm choosing to get on my hands and knees. I'm choosing to just worship you and thank you that I'm the healed of the Lord. Thank you for healing me. Thank you that Jesus took my sickness, carried my pains away. Hallelujah. I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful. I just want to praise you, worship you, love you, let you know. Let you know over and over again. You're repeatedly saying as a person that's excited over and over again, I can't tell you enough. I can't thank you enough. I got to tell you again, I'm thankful, Lord. I got to tell you again, I'm thankful, Lord. I can't tell you enough. I can't say it enough. I'm thankful. I'm grateful. Woo! Builds a barricade around. Keeps the devil out. But his presence is in. Your praises go up, his presence comes down. Yes. Praise and get raised. Yes. The power of your praise and worship. And the enemy tries to downplay this, make you think that all these other things are important that you have to be doing today. Let me tell you what is most important. Go to the throne. Yes. Spend the time in his presence. Get to know him more and more and more. It works. It works. I apply this. I love this part. It's one of my favorites. It just is. And it works. And I'm not trying to do it to make something work. I'm just doing it because I'm thankful. And I'm grateful. I just want him to know that. How much time do we spend doing that? Because this is part of you expressing your faith and releasing your faith to God. Because your faith brings God on the scene in your circumstance and situation. We could spend more time in our praise and worship. Especially if the devil's been picking on you. But if the devil's been picking on you, I'm telling you, and you get on your hands and knees and you begin to praise and worship your God. He can't stand it. He will never stay where the presence of God is. The power of your praise and worship. Don't let up on it. Don't give up on it. If even more so, press in and be determined to praise and worship him even more because he's already done it. You're on the receiving side. You're on the believing side. You're claiming what belongs to you. So powerful. So if you really, really knew what was happening every single time you praise and worship God, you would do a whole lot more of it. So God, what does it tell us in John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24? He tells us, let's look there. The time has come when God is looking for true, genuine worshipers. John 4 and in verse 24. Well, let's begin in verse 23. Go up to 23. John 4, verse 23 and 24. It says, a time will come, however, indeed it's already here, when the true, genuine worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, reality. For the Father is seeking just such people as these, as his worshipers. That means he's never stopped seeking. Still to this day, he's seeking genuine worshipers. True, genuine worshipers who worship him in spirit and in truth. That's reminding him of his word and by the power of the Holy Spirit, worshiping in the spirit. Very few Christians do this, and it's powerful. You ever get before the Lord and you begin to sing in other tongues, worship in the Spirit? It's so powerful. And it tells us in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 to worship Him in the Spirit. Speaking to ourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. It tells us that. The Father is seeking. He hasn't stopped seeking. He's still to this very day looking for genuine, extravagant worshipers who are willing to lay aside something they really want to do really bad. Give up that time and make it time with Him. That's right. It's a sacrifice. And then verse 24 says, God is a spirit. I said, He's a spiritual being, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth and reality. In truth, reflecting His word back to Him, and then in the spirit with the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, it says, we are the true circumcision, who worship God in the spirit and put no confidence in the flesh. Worship Him in the spirit. What does it tell us in Hebrews 13:15? Let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise unto God, that is the fruit of our lips that acknowledge His name. Continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. Every now and then, Pastor Debbie, no. Let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. Hebrews 13:15. Continually. What does it say in Psalms 34, verse 1? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Not just sometimes. Not just every now and then. No, His praise shall continually be in our mouth. Let's stand to our feet. We'll stop here and we'll pick it up from there next week. Hallelujah. Did you get something this morning? The power of our praise and worship as a reminder. His presence comes down. The praises go up. Builds that barricade. There's the shield. There's the defense that comes around you to protect you, to barricade the devil out, put His presence in. His strength comes into your situation. It begins, His power and His might begins to work, move, and operate, providing you with everything you need, the strength that you need, everything you need to push on, continue on, move forward, not quit, not give up, not give in. I know that the enemy, he don't play fair, but he's a liar and he's already been defeated. And that's the thing you got to always remember. He's already been defeated. We are enforcing his defeat. You and I, by our faith and trust in what Jesus Christ has already done, we enforce that defeat by continually reminding the enemy, no, I don't have that, and I don't accept that, and I won't permit that or allow that. This is what I do have, healing and health. Divine health is mine. That's what belongs to me. I resist you in the name of Jesus. Get out of here in Jesus' name. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. What did Jesus say when the devil came to him? It is written. Every single time he opened his mouth and he said something. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In each one of those temptations, Jesus came right back with the spoken word of God out of his mouth. If it worked for Jesus, the same spoken word out of your mouth, when you release it with your faith, works for you, and it brings God on the scene. God's power and anointing is released and begins to work, move, and operate in your situation. Don't think any different for any given moment, because the enemy is a liar, but God's power is working on your behalf. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's take a praise pause right here. Glory to God. Father, we thank you today. We worship you and honor you, for you are good, so good. Thank you for healing us. Thank you for delivering us. Thank you for saving us. We thank you for Jesus taking our place. Glory to your name. Praise your holy name. Thank you so much, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 Woo, glory. He takes up residence in. He lives in our praise and worship. I love that. He lives in your praise and worship. I don't feel God, Pastor Debbie. He lives in your praise and worship. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, I thank you this morning. Thank you for your living word. It doesn't return unto you void. And I believe today that you got exactly what these people needed to hear and receive with their faith, so they can continue to grow and have exceedingly growing faith. We thank you and we praise you for quickening this word to them, bringing it back to their remembrance. In Jesus' name, if there's anyone in here this morning, we always want to give